أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. عمر رضي الله عنه reports that when Wahi would descend on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you could make out, and there were various ways where people could make out that Wahi is coming down. Sometimes on a cold winter's morning, there will be beads of perspiration rolling down the cheeks of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes the mount that he was on would not be able to manage the burden of wahi and was forced to sit down. And sometimes people around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hear the sound of the buzzing of bees. So on one such occasion when we heard this sound, we understood that wahi was coming down and we were eager to hear the fresh revelation coming down from the heavens. These 10 verses of Surah Mu'minun were revealed and Rasulullah SAW turned towards the Qibla and made this dua, Allahumma zidna wala tanqusna. O Allah Ta'ala, grant us increase and do not decrease us in your blessings, in your bounties, in your favors. Go on increasing and don't decrease them. And wa akrimna wala tuhinna, and grant us honor and don't disgrace us through Islam, through righteousness, to being loyal to you. O Allah Ta'ala, always elevate us in honor. Do not disgrace us that we become unloyal to you, that we become disobedient. وَأَعْطِنَا وَلَا تَحْرِمْنَا, and bestow upon us your special favors, do not deprive us thereof. وَآثِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْثِرْ عَلَيْنَا, and favor us over others, prefer us over others, and don't prefer others over us, O Allah Ta'ala. وَرْضَ عَنَّا وَأَرْضِنَا, and O Allah Ta'ala, you be pleased with us, and let us be pleased with you as well. Thereafter Nabi Sallam explained that the one that practices these verses, then he will go direct to Jannat. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked once about the Mubarak character, the sublime ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she explained that it was the Quran and namely these 10 verses, starting off with قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers have won. The winning, the precondition for this competition is Iman. Without Iman, one is just wasting his time. There's no point in life without Iman. There's no point. You can't even join the race. So, to be able to compete and join to this race, the prerequisite is Iman. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, so one needs to check all the time that the elements of faith are right. There is no problem in the elements of his faith. Then the first and the foremost action after Iman is Salah. Allah Ta'ala gives the description of the Salah of the believer. فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, they are humble throughout their prayers. The word that has been used, خُشُوء, عَجْزِي, انْكِسَارِي, to express one's helplessness and one's uselessness in the sight, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. This feeling of helplessness, this feeling of humility must be all round, not just in one's tone, or not just in the tone of the voice, rather in the tone of the voice, then in the state of the mind and heart, and then in one's postures and movements throughout the salah. He'll be humble, expressing that feeling that he is absolutely helpless in the sublime presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, overawed by his majesty and greatness. So that khushu must be a feature that is throughout him, in his tone of his voice, in his actions, postures and movements. So he won't be doing anything, any posture that is not in keeping with, not in keeping with khushu. And similarly, his heart also will be brimming with khushu and this feeling of humility, nothingness. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِدُونَ. And those who abstain from vain talks. When we talk about vain talks, what do we refer to? The Quran repeats this, وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَسِيرُ إِلَيْنَا رَاجِعُونَ. That our journey, the end of our journey, our destination is the akhirat. We are all in the race, moving towards one goal, and that is the akhirat. So when we are in this race that is leading to the akhirat, we believe that our destination is the akhirat, then the most sensible thing to do is then to work towards this either directly or indirectly. Whatever will expedite this journey to the akhirat, directly improve the quality and better the destination for us, we will get involved in, engaged in, whether it is direct or indirect. Direct, we know that he is namaz, etc., or prayers, acts of worship and devotion. And indirectly is acquiring some type of material that will make this journey comfortable and manageable. So we are acquiring the material to facilitate the journey to the akhirat, not the material because of the material, not the wealth because of the wealth, but rather to facilitate this journey that is leading to the akhirat. And anything beyond this, then that is lahu, that is vain, it's a waste of time, the person is unintelligent, he doesn't know what he's doing. Then the third description of the believers, whom is zakati fa'ilun, two explanations have been given. One is they are regular in paying out their zakat, and the second is they are constant in the purification of their soul. At all times, they are purifying themselves from jealousy or pride, greed, ostentation, malicious attitudes, harboring suspicion and evil about people. So at all times, they are constant in purifying their soul. This is a jumla ismiya, showing continuity. It's all the time, is not subject to a certain month or a certain place or a certain time. Rather, it's a continuous feature in a believer that his heart is always clean and clear, so as to wait the special glory and the special favors that are coming from above, the special illumination, inspiration that we all desire. So we are waiting for it. So if you want it, then this heart has to be clean all the time. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. The fourth feature of the believer description is he guards his chastity, except from his wife or his female slaves. Then in that case, he is not blameworthy. But anybody desires more than this, he exceeds this limit, then they are the transgressors. So Allah Ta'ala has defined what is the meaning of guarding the chastity. The wife and the legal slave woman is halal and permissible for you. Anything beyond this is illegal, impermissible. So all that which is done apart from what has been explained in this verse would be obviously illegal. Like we talk about extramarital affairs. Another name for zina, a more glossy word for zina and adultery, but it is the same filth, it is the same dirt. So any type of relationship besides what the Quran Sharif has explained, so all type of gay relationship, masturbation, or artificially fulfilling one's lust through pornography, etc., whichever other way. Similarly is the case of a person cohabiting with his wife when she is in the monthly causes or postnatal bleeding. So all this will come under the purview of this verse or the ambit of this verse. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They guard their chastity. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. And anybody exceeds this limit that have been shown by Allah Ta'ala, then they are the transgressors. InshaAllah, we'll continue from there.